Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome into our latest Mountain West Connection show here. We are live now doing our shows here at MWCConnection.com. Find us all hanging out on Twitter at MWCConnection, Facebook, Mountain West Connection, all those good things. You can find us pretty much anywhere. And tonight we're doing live shows now. It's just Jeremy here tonight, and I'm your host. If you've never heard us before, may not be the worst thing, but it may not be the best thing because we do a good job. Normally, I'm here hanging out with Chris, but he has some other obligations going on, making the trek back to Southern California from Las Vegas. And it's his words, hopefully for the last time. So we will have Chris back later on in our next show, which will be Sunday night. And like I said, we're doing these live. We're over at Blog Talk Radio for the most part. You can still find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, all that's the same. But we are doing just maybe take some calls down the road. We'll figure a few things out how to make it fun. But tonight, we're going on our last show for recruiting because signing day is mere weeks away. And tonight, we're discussing Wyoming. That's right, Wyoming football, Wyoming recruiting. More than just recruiting because Craig Bull's new head coach. We already discussed that a few weeks ago from our good friend Matt at CowboyAltitude.com. But tonight, we are bringing in a guy who does recruiting all the time. He'll be on here momentarily with Ian McMackin. Over at the Rivals Network with Wyoming over there at gowyogo.com or wyoming.rivals.com is the other way here. And he'll be joining us momentarily, but that's kind of what that is what we're going to be talking about. We got recruiting, got a bunch of guys coming in this weekend. We're also going to get into Robert Heron at the Senior Bowls doing amazing things there down in Mobile, Alabama. Could be shooting up to be a top 100 pick in the upcoming draft in May. And we'll get things going here momentarily. Apparently, my internet decides to go slow as soon as the show goes live. And that's normally where me and Chris might tangent for a little bit here. But I'm trying to see if our guys called in, which we'll check shortly. But Wyoming football is kind of one thing I've noticed about with their new head coach, Craig Bull. They haven't really lost any commits. The big deal is Austin Ford, the quarterback from Gillette. He's like, I'm still for Mike Pittman. I'm still good to go. They did lose a current player. Jason Thompson went to the University of Utah to follow Dave Christensen. And then Brett Smith leaves early for the NFL draft. And so that kind of leaves them with not much. To be nice, not much at the quarterback position. So Austin Fort could come in for the just possibly start his true freshman year. And he's going to be on campus this weekend, as are, I think, about six or seven other guys here. And again, I would have a sound effect because we can do that now. Because everybody knows that Bill Riley sound effect. Like, how should she bleep? Let's do it live. I wish I could. I'm going to have that set up to play because every time something goes wrong, I'm going to play it because we're doing this live. And right now, I know I'm recording. It's working well. Yet, I cannot access my board to see if our caller is here. But that's kind of where I'm just messing around here now to kind of get things straightened out. But that's for why, I mean, Christensen's gone. The recruiting class, it's not going to be anything special because there's not many recruits in the state of Wyoming. They're lucky that they may get a couple per year. So they got to mind the Denver, Colorado area, the New Mexico area. They go to California like everybody else. But then because there's that recruiting map that I put up a while ago where it kind of says who comes from where. And there's not that many that come from the Front Range to go to Wyoming, especially in Wyoming. So that's why they got to kind of spread their wealth around it, spread out their resources if we're going to get. And with Craig Bull, he's not familiar with the area, but North Dakota, Wyoming, not too far off. So who the kids are going to go after are kind of the same in that he knows the geography fairly well. But also the class and the ranking, because looking at the most recent composite, I know 24/7 Sports takes all the recruiting rankings and kind of does a composite. And for a while, North Dakota State was actually ahead of Wyoming, but Wyoming is pretty much near the bottom of the FBS ranks, and North Dakota State was in that same ballpark as well. And they did rise. I remember a while ago, they were well below, which is pretty ridiculous to be below that far below FCS program. So there's the issues, not issues, but just the things they have to work around to become a better program and who they're going to bring in and how they're going to get kids to be better. And there's going to be a new system with Craig Bull. It's not going to be the spread attack that Dave Christensen was running for minimal success, I could say, for the past couple of years. Bull wants to smash it up. He has I forget the guy's name, but he has a good offensive lineman at the Senior Bowl now, who's doing think it's a tackle, some sort of lineman, who's having good success there and could move his way up and be one of those top draft picks in the first couple of rounds. And now let's see if I can get my... Hey, my internet might be working now. Awesome. Sorry, now I have to make sure a guest is on the line here. Me checking my... As I have now a virtual studio. Pretty fancy. And also, one quick cool thing about Blog Talk Radio, they have a huge network of all of our other SB Nation podcasts, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, pretty much all the teams, well, a lot of teams or communities you could think of. And, of course, this part is me screwing up as my internet is going at a snail's pace for some reason. Even though I was all ready to go, everything set up, not that people care about this, but everything was good to go, got all my pages open I wanted, all the stuff I'm going to ask in and everything. And then the important page of Pull Him Online, not working so well. So let's see if I can actually get this to work. Maybe, maybe not. Oh, it's... I apologize. This is ridiculous. But, oh, hey, maybe it's working. But here's what we're going to discuss as well. As our, as I'm getting everything loading, it's kind of as we stall here for the moment as I get my internet to work. We are going to have like I said, a lot of recruiting shows leading up to Sunday day. We're actually having Brandon Huffman from Scout.com on Sunday. Time TBA, I will make a post to some sort to alert people when that will happen. But maybe that's a good time to get some questions ready for him since he does the whole West Coast for Scout and a lot more beyond that. So he's a good guy to, since he knows what he's talking about and knows all sorts of things. So we'll have some. Bring in your questions. Send them my Twitter, MWC Connection. Hey, you can even email me, mountainwestfootball@gmail.com. It's always a way to get hold of us or our Facebook page. You can do that too. And... that, and then we'll have we're going to also get the guys from San Diego State on, all sorts of different people here that are going to be joining us in the next couple of weeks. And also, hey, our good friend Chris will be joining us as well. As he, like I said, coming back from Southern California, he'll be here on Sunday to help us out with everything. And if I don't know my password, this is going to be pretty embarrassing if I can't log back in to get our guest on, because that was the whole point of the show. Hey, let's get a guest on who knows about recruiting, who knows about Wyoming stuff and all those things, so... This is turning into quite the embarrassment of a show. But as for what Wyoming needs, they're one of the programs where they need, or they will be needing, excuse me, a lot of players down the stretch. Because they're not going to have all sorts of ton of recruits coming into camp right now, a few junior college guys. But they're going to be the school, typically, that will get most of their guys to come in day or two, week of signing day, for whatever reason. Their other offers fell through. They feel Wyoming's great after taking those final visits. And then that's when they'll see the huge sports. I think right now their list of recruits, they only have about, I think it's about 10 or so. Let me see if I can actually look this up here in my awesome computer, which is, again, apologizing for the millionth time because this show is going to, of course, there's going to be some sort of issues that I can't really control and without to bounce some stuff off each other. That is not what I wanted to happen tonight in our first show. Hey, at least it's late, so if you're listening live, you can... I can tell you to leave, but... Nah, don't leave. Hang around. I'll get this drained out momentarily. Because I had everything going. The little timer said, 2 minutes. Show begins in 2 minutes. Begin now. And now I'm trying to pull up my studio page to pull up our guest here. But back to kind of what I was saying about with Wyoming and who they bring in and how... with the guys they have and how soon they'll... I guess, not enroll, but how soon they'll commit or verbally commit to be a poke. For the Cowboy, you got to be tough at 7,500 feet or something. And they're, we will get to next year's stuff already once I can maybe get my guest on. And, of course, my page is not responding. This is the best show ever. I am just, I don't know what's going on. Let me just close out my Chrome and keep stalling even more as I discuss everything. But let's get back. I'll try to keep on topic here. If I mean, the Pokes here. Let's just kind of go into Robert here and really quick. He's at the Senior Bowl. He was actually, I think he was named the Senior Bowl Player of the Day on Monday or Tuesday. He's beating out guys like Cody Hoffman from BYU down there, expected to be a pretty good, fairly high draft pick. He's outperforming him for the most part. And Aaron, if you remember from 2012, I think he only played, he had like 32 catches and like 8 touchdowns. So he had an amazing, amazing touchdown to reception ratio. Pretty much unheard of for that amount. He had a lot of touchdowns this year. I would have thought much of my internet was working. But he's turned into the guy, he's not just, a lot of the times you'll see him, he had these huge touchdown receptions throughout the year. He would have I guess there were probably – he's pretty fast, obviously, to get open 50 yards down the field. But he would also be a guy where they're questioning, can he do those intermediate routes or short routes, get to the defensive back, either not follow him on a route or be able to turn – get open on intermediate routes, like those over-the-shoulder throws where they got to be timing, you got to have the defender on your back so you're the only guy who can make that catch, that type of stuff. He's – from what I've been reading around online, he's – just been doing playing extremely well at the Senior Bowl from the scouts and everybody who's there doing a excellent job in getting everything done. And people were kind of hinting, maybe he'll be a top 100 pick. Maybe he'll move up. That's because top 100, what's the NFL draft do now? They do day one round, day two, second, third round. If he's a third round pick, that's a day two guy. And who knows if he could do something. Hey, we got our guy here. I apologize. I got my studio back in. So let's bring him on. He's on hold for 8 minutes. Ian, are you with me?
I sure am. Can you hear me?
I am so sorry. I'm sure you heard me rambling and trying for the last 6 minutes to get things going.
That's
I apologize.
All right.
Everything going? I'm on my Skype talking, working well. My Google Chrome sites just freeze on me. You know that is, right? You get the killer tab which says you need to kill the page.
Well, that happens at work every day. So
and of course,
I
this is our
understand.
first show doing this new way, and issues. So thanks for joining us. So we got Ian
I'm glad
here
to
from
be here.
Excellent. Talk about the visits. Talk about as you ramble about Austin Ford and Robert Heron, Aaron, do all those sorts of things. So basically, let's kind of I want to kind of if you're at the beginning, it looks like you've been on the whole time with the Craig Bull hire. We've already discussed this in one of our other shows, but. As the recruiting process has gone on, he hasn't really lost, and there's I don't think so. I've been not following as close to you, but there haven't been any decommits, have there, since over the past month?
Actually, there has not been. Initially, when Christensen left or was let go, they had three commitments at that point, and all those players stayed committed. Of course, one's from Gillette, Wyoming, so he's definitely a homegrown kid that – very anxious to get to Laramie and play quarterback. Stanton, the kid out of California, his brother's already at Wyoming. Jordan, which had a terrific season coming from JUCO, and he'll be there for the senior year. And then the third kid, Betancourt, is out of Idaho, and he was committed early. So they did not have any deep commits. The last
Good
time
news.
I checked, they have 11 commitments. Actually, they have 8 commitments and 3 signees already on campus right now. So they're at 11. And Coach Bull seems to think they've been ahead of schedule with recruiting. He feels good about where they are, especially with getting a late start. And he feels like they're doing better than he had expected, being so late in the game. You know, he didn't finish up at North Dakota State until early January when they won their third Division AA championship. So they feel, I think they feel pretty good under circumstances right now.
So with that winning the third national title, he was kind of had one foot in each job. Because you guys over there at Rivals talk to people all the time, those kids. Does that make a really big impression that he's had so many, or so one of those three titles, however many games he won, or is that really a big reason? Hey, we can maybe.
I think it's in high school kids because a lot of them are following different programs across the country and they're familiar. You know, North Dakota State played on ESPN 2 or 3 weekends in a row,
and
even though they're not and they're not FBS, not FBS necessarily major, but people watch football. High school kids watch these games. They're well aware how dominating North Dakota State's been over the last 3 seasons. And I think it has, at least the ones that have committed to Wyoming and are visiting this week, and I think it had a big impact on them. Because even one of the recent recruits that just committed last week mentioned that he, the group that came up for that visit where they got a pretty decent amount of commitments, they have a vision and they want to be a dynasty in the Mount West Conference was the quote out of one of the high school kids. So, I think it's making an impact on that level.
Yeah, I see. Like they had looks like 4 commits in the five commits in the past week. They had a huge visit last weekend where they got a bunch of guys. Then they had just a guy the other day or today. Daniel Vega was at today.
Yeah,
I think
Daniel Vega was a big pickup for him. His big defensive tackle. that really had committed. Obviously, some of these players had been get more courted by FCS, but the way Bowl, I think, approaches is a lot of these higher-level FCS kids can come in and be effective players in the Mountain West Conference, and he wants to get a few of those kids. So.
And also, because I'm looking at the 24/7 Sports, they do the composite ranking. It's not a good thing when North Dakota State's pretty much on par with Wyoming. Like, I've kind of looked at that. They're both about the 120 range. What is he telling those guys? Because you said they want to be the dynasty of Mountain West. Is that really possible? Because we've seen good years here and there, even under going back to Tiller there and Glenn, even Christian, a couple of good years. Can they really – because consistency has been the issue. They've had good years, bad years, nothing even remotely in between. It's either been pretty good or very bad.
Well, I think with Wyoming, there's just a lot of different areas you can go with Wyoming. But Bowl is a – I think, first of all, before you can get into what Bowl would think about it, is that there's a lot of talent across the country. And there's a really – even though there's 120 or so FBS programs, there's a lot of talent out there that I think it just – the evaluation of the talent comes in as much as anything. Most of the teams in the Mountain West aren't going to go out and get tons of blue chip players. Sure, they'll get a few of them, but as time goes on, it's really going to come back to be able to project these players out with development, a good strength and conditioning program, good off seasons, and project these guys into what they're going to be, you know, 2 years down the line. And there's a lot of instances of players out there that have, you know, been under recruited, and one of them is Robert Heron that we're going to talk about. You know, that was not highly recruited. Brett Smith wasn't the most highly recruited player at Wyoming. We have another one that may get drafted here in April in Quest Huff that was probably a two-star recruit. So there's all kinds of ability out there that maybe these players are under the radar. And Coach Bowl, I don't think, puts a lot on the ranking systems either.
Mm-hmm.
He's more of taking a look at a player's toughness, you know, their heart, what are they going to do? Are they going to fit into the culture, fit into the system that they're implementing. So there's a lot more that comes in play than just where they're ranked with the star systems.
Yeah, because I know it's not – I think it's fairly accurate overall, but when you get to these, like, level of schools like the Mountain West, the MAC, even some Conference USA teams, Sun Belt, the kid may get looked at once from you guys or whoever's going to rate them, and that's how some guys, they get rated once in their junior year. Oh, they're not rated or whatever. But then they blow up, like, that kind of happens. They'll get a second look, but the quarterback spot, like how, I know it's a big deal to get any player who's good enough to be an FBS in state, as in right now it's this Austin DeFore. Like I'm looking now, he's not showing he's rated, but people say he's pretty good. So like, what should people know about? Cause I think he could possibly, with Jason Thompson leaving, Brett Smith leaving early. There's not many quarterbacks on the roster. They got the JUCO a few weeks ago. It was Aaron Young, I believe, who's coming in from California via New York. Like, what are they? Like, what's the deal about Austin DeFore? Like, what's his style? How's he going to play? Could he possibly start his first year next season?
Well, it's tough to say where he's going to fall in. Brett Smith came. Wyoming's been very fortunate with Christensen because the last two quarterbacks they had were freshmen that came in and were pretty productive right out of the gate, and Austin Carter Samuels, and then, of course, Brett Smith. Whether Austin Ford has that ability, I really haven't seen enough of him to know even how Bowl feels about him. He's a good athlete. He can run. He appears to have a pretty good arm. But whether he can come in as a freshman, and produce, you know, my guess would be the JUCO guy, Aaron Young, would be the guy in there. He's already on campus. And there's a chance they might bring in another JUCO quarterback or a quarterback, by the summer that will compete for that job. So it might be a little bit too much to ask for Austin Ford to come in immediately, you know, make that impact that Brett Smith and Austin Carter Samuels made.
But it's pretty much the same thing. It's going to be wide open. So I think he'll at least have a shot. Is that fair to say?
He'll have an opportunity. I think everyone's going to get an opportunity that comes in. We think about, a lot of people don't know about Wyoming, is they have a pretty good nucleus of players coming back next year. They didn't graduate a lot of players outside losing Brett Smith, you know, Jason Thompson. They got a defensive tackle, Patrick Mertens, and linebacker Devin Smith, another year with medical redshirt that they suffered injury early in their career, so they got an extra year. So they got a pretty good nucleus of their defense coming back. They got a pretty good nucleus on offense coming back, minus the quarterback position. So maybe it's just a matter of getting these guys to play up a level, coach them up, and, you know, make them a little more tougher, because Wyoming just hasn't been – while they were dangerous at times offensively with their quarterback in Robert Heron, really weren't a very physical football team on defense and really wasn't that physical on the offensive line. So maybe Bull can bring that toughness in that he came in from North Dakota State and really maybe get these guys to play another level next year.
Yeah, that's what – do you think there's going to be a transition with that because the offense and style of play is so different? I remember with San Diego State, I think they had Chuck Long years ago. They wanted to run under center, two tight ends, just kind of hit like Wisconsin, hitch up the middle. They bring in Brady Hoke, and then even Rocky Long keeps it the spread attack. Is there going to be any too much of players being out of place? Like, is because the thing in San Diego State, if I recall, their linemen were these huge, big guys, but to run what Brady Hoke wanted to run and things like they wanted the more slender, not slender, but you know what I mean, more athletic linemen. Is there going to be an issue with that transition, you think, about how different the offense could be?
I think it could be. It's really hard to gauge that right now, whether these players are transition. I think a lot of it has to do with their desire to buy into what he's doing. It appears right now that they didn't have very much attrition with the coaching change. Usually when you have these coaching changes, you have players leave the program. Outside Brett Smith and Jason Thompson, didn't lose a lot of players off this team. Now, those are two big losses. Brett Smith's a huge loss, don't get me wrong, and Jason Thompson could certainly have been a very effective quarterback. He seemed to have some talent. He was probably a better athlete than Brett Smith, and you know, had a good arm on him and stuff. But, you know, those are big losses. But outside that, it seemed like the remaining players that were coming back that did not graduate have bought into it. You know, so that's a good sign to get out of the gate. But it's a long process, so we'll have to see how it plays out, if they can play his style of ball. But he will make them play. I'm pretty confident he's going to make them more physical, make them tougher mentality, and whether it's enough to get them over the hump. Because they got a tough schedule next year. They got to play at Michigan State. They got to play at Oregon to start the season. Even the Mountain West road games are going to be tough ones. Even, you know, the weaker teams are actually playing on the road, and some of the stronger teams have to play at home. So it's going to be a tough schedule next year.
Yeah, I could definitely say. So let's kind of get to what the main reason you want to join here. Well, I guess more of the main reason, like recruiting guys, the guys who are coming in, they have, looks like here, I should probably count my list before. I think it's 12 guys coming in. There's a couple of JUCO guys here. There's a few guys from Florida coming in. What, like, is there anybody that stands out? Because Austin Fort's coming in for another visit, and I've solidly committed to Wyoming unless something drastically changes. But is there any guy that stands out about who's coming in this weekend that, like, it'll be great to get to this guy, or anybody in particular they're really eyeing they want to get now done and committed?
Well, I think with the guy that it's fine, they're obviously excited. The fans are excited about Aaron Young just because we need a quarterback and having someone that has some experience coming in. So that was a big pickup because it really hit the fan base when Thompson and Smith left. I mean, that was kind of a blindside, probably more with Thompson than Smith. But I think with the guys they got coming in this weekend, they got two speedsters from Florida coming in, and Chavez Pinnell. Wyoming hasn't recruited Florida very heavy. It's usually been California, Texas with the speed states. They got the winners kid coming in from Missouri. But a couple of those guys have already committed. But I would say you can expect anybody that's a junior college player, where they got two of them right now, and Hollister and Young, I would say those two guys would be expected to contribute. They're already on campus. So those would probably be the two leading candidates. But in terms of freshmen, it's really, really hard to gauge which freshmen would be. I wouldn't expect a lot of players in this class to make an immediate impact.
Okay. Then what about, because I know that could be difficult to predict where 17-year-old kids are going to be in a couple of years, even next year. In what position, what are they, because you said they didn't lose a lot. We know quarterback's a big issue. Wide receiver a little bit because Heron's production. Like, what position are they really wanting to get? Because I'm seeing here they have four cornerbacks coming in this weekend. They actually have a fullback. I noticed they're coming in to come visit this weekend. Like, what's the position they're wanting to solidify for what Craig Bull wants to be, or just for a position they want to shore up to make sure they're good to go in the depth the next year or two?
Well, I think the key is because they're changing systems, they're going to play more 4-3 on defense. They were kind of a mix there. They want to really bring in defensive linemen, but really on the offensive side of the ball, since they're switching from a spread to a more pro-style offense, they really got to kind of get the tight end position. They don't have very many tight ends in the program. They definitely don't have any fullbacks in the program. So those are the, I think, the position for immediate impact that they're going to focus on. But even down the road, because one thing Bull said, that the way he builds his program, the key thing is you got to have a strong defensive line, have good cornerbacks, and have a good quarterback. And that's really where he wants to start the rebuilding of the program, is those three positions.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, get your guys in there, make sure you have the depth. Like, not many teams care, like, than a fullback. Who has a fullback? They'll typically stick a tight end back there to say, hey, just try to get in this guy's way and make a block.
Yeah, so, Wyoming hasn't had a fullback in years. I don't remember last time we had a fullback. It seems it's been years, and we haven't really used the tight end much since Tiller was with coach here. When we had Tiller, we had great tight ends, Roach, you know, even goes back to Jay Novacek playing tight end back in the 80s. But once Tiller moved on, it has not been a really big position with Wyoming. So it appears that will be coming back. Well, it'll have to come back for Bull to be able to have success in what he wants to do.
And what's the ranking door? Like I kind of mentioned, Wyoming's not the highest rate. Does it really – nobody – ratings matter because for fans. Like, oh, I'm rated. We got this many 2-stars. Like, Boise State has 1 4-star. The other guy decided to say no to them. Does it – at the end of the day, does it really matter to, like, if they're – Wyoming's ranked 98th in the nation? Because no Mountain West team probably can get above 60 if they're lucky. Does that really matter to anybody, just maybe, like, the fans a little bit, who really want to kind of – it's super early, but kind of know where we stand against everybody else. Do you think that's how – that's why I think it kind of works.
Yeah, I think with Wyoming, we don't – the coaching staffs, and you can go to basketball at Larry Shia too, don't really focus on the ratings as much, because it's more just the nature of Wyoming and the nature of the program and the way it is. It's more of a, you know, going in there, finding those diamonds in the roughs, developing them. So – they're probably not going to get a lot of guys that are going to be highly recruited immediately out of high school. So even with the successful teams we've had in the past, those recruiting classes weren't super highly ranked even in the Mountain West Conference. And because of that, what I see is that it's more – they're not going to pay as much attention to those stars as maybe some other schools do. Because it's really the key here is getting the right players in and kind of molding them and developing them into good football players over time and kind of building a program that way.
That makes sense. I don't know why I went back to that again. For some reason I did. I think it went Blake I was going to
mention.
That's
an important question because the fans pay close attention to that. You know, the fans
we wrote about that. We wrote about that a couple weeks ago. We said, here's how the ranking is 2 months before. And people looked at it. So I guess, yeah, it makes sense, I guess, since people are interested, at least. I remember the thing about Bobby Bowden, Florida State, he just went off of those ratings and recruited whoever about 5 or 6 years ago. So I remember that type of story. So I guess it's a guide, but not really. Coaches shouldn't really use it. Let's go by the tape.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the funny part is the coaches were, they know it's a kind of a PR thing too. So they want to see the stars balance a little bit with a lot of these players. But it really gets down to winning and, you know, finding those players and all those, you know, the guys that Wyoming has in the NFL, and I think we have 9 or 10 on the roster this year. And like I mentioned, I think when we get 3 guys drafted this year, none of those guys were highly, you know, star players. So there are many examples, of players through the years that were overlooked and they developed into good players with good work ethic and kind of fit in the system.
All right, so let's move on from the recruiting game because there's still a few weeks away, and we'll kind of know who commits this week. I'm assuming a handful will say yes and hopefully sign in a few weeks. So let's go to, as we mentioned, we've got Robert Heron. He's been doing great things over down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl? There's so many. Yeah, Senior Bowl. Player of the day one day, or wide receiver of the day. If you've been following that, I don't think it kind of matters who he stacks up against because there are some good guys down there, but is he – like, tell people about him. I mentioned before, before he got injured, he had, 32 catches and 8 touchdowns in 2012. Last year, he had a pretty good ratio as well, getting the deep passes. Is this thing he's shown where he can actually do the other route instead of being that guy who slides down the middle against Nebraska for that 50-yard touchdown reception.
Well, I think one thing he has going for him is speed, and we know the NFL likes
yeah.
the speed element.
Fast.
He was a track star in high school, Pac-12 or Pac-10 back then, scholarship offers to run track, so that's how fast he was. And Christensen's staff was, you know, bold enough to look at him and say, you know, this guy has enough football skill. We develop him. We put him in a spread offense. He's going to make some things happen. And he showed flashes throughout his career. He made a great run against Texas a couple years ago down in Austin, where he took a kind of a short pass and went the distance against those guys and made some big plays against Nebraska. He is, if not the fastest, one of the fastest players in the Mountain West this year. He was the fastest. And he's just, you know, he's another example of a guy that came and just worked really hard to become a better football player. And he had that, you know, God-given speed that allowed him to, you know, make big plays. And the NFL likes those guys.
So outside of just being a speed guy, what else could he bring to an NFL team? Because you're not going to always be able to just do it Randy Moss and blow past the guy to get a touchdown pass to go 40 yards on the field. What else can he do besides that? Is he going to return kicks? Is he speed, or what else could he do?
Well, I think he's a niche guy. I think he'll be a guy that he'll fit into certain, you know, plays. He'll be, you know, that guy maybe on third down you throw the ball to. I don't think he'll be a type of wide receiver, the NFL, that's going to be out there on the field every play. But I think because of the speed, he'll be able to be utilized by some offenses. And he does have a good work ethic. His hands are probably above average. He made some big catches. He also dropped some balls during his career at Wyoming, but those are things that can be improved. But I think really the thing that's making him stand out, he's obviously worked on his routes or something because he's having a great performance down there in the senior game and for the senior practices, bowl practices. And I think because of that, he's working hard to become an NFL wide receiver. And if he just keeps fine-tuning some of those weaknesses, you know, he'll probably get drafted fairly high come April.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. One of our other sites got an interview with him down there in Mobile. Say he's like been trained in Arizona doing all sorts of things. And they're saying he could be a top 100 pick. And that's what right in the late third, early fourth round. So I'm looking at CBS right now. They have him at the 18th wide receiver, 118th overall. Because wide receiver is also deep this year. A lot of guys coming out. So he could be a steal for a team if they – whether he moves up or stays at the pick 110 or 85 or 190, he's going to be a good steal for any team I think that gets him.
I think he's a player that the right programs and take a look at him, right pro teams and take a look at him. They're going to see is, you know, that speed factor and how they're going to utilize it. I think that's the asset that he has going for him right now. You know, Wyoming's offense was an enigma this year. They, against weaker teams, they moved the ball. They had a great game against Nebraska moving it. But then when they played the top-tier Mountain West teams, they struggled moving the football. And it kind of makes you wonder why at times Heron wasn't doing that game in, game out. But there'd be certain games where he'd explode for some big touchdowns and, you know, long runs and stuff. He showed that speed in the open field once he got going. But there are games where I think the defense is really focused on him and he wasn't able to be as effective.
So one last thing on Heron, because he's not a big guy. Would he be maybe one of those slot guys since he's only pretty small, 5'9"?
I think so, and I think the NFL has, you know, a handful of very effective receivers about his size, and he probably has better speed than a lot of those guys do too. So I think he's definitely a receiver. A certain offense could be utilized because of that speed that he has and ability. He just has a burst to him. Once he catches that ball, he can get out of the gate pretty quick and go. And it's that track, you know, that track speed that he's been able to translate in onto the football field.
All right, so let's move on to the surprise lever. Well, that's not a word, lever. Brett Smith, he left early. What I've read somewhere, like, there's a lot of kind of hype because I think he could be a pretty good quarterback. I forget who the guy was, but there's some Q&A with a bunch of scouts, I think, from the Trib.com, one of the Wyoming papers out there, saying they would have Brett Smith over Johnny Manziel. Do you see any truth to being that? But I think part of his main thing was, which I don't really agree because we know Manziel could be kind of an oddball, but I remember not this season, but year before, didn't Brett Smith get kicked out of a game, do some knucklehead stuff where he got benched? So I don't know how he would be he's changed for that, seems like, but where do you kind of see him going? I don't, he could be better than Manziel. I don't know, because it's a crapshoot kind of for quarterbacks, but we've seen him play. What
well,
do you
think
he's going to be? I don't know. That's kind
well,
of my rambling question. What's he going to be?
Well, first of all, I think Brett is a really high character kid. I think the Nevada thing was just, he's very competitive, and I think that got blown out of proportion a little bit, but he is a very competitive, but very high character person. He has tremendous work ethic, and I think he has some natural things going for him. I think his ability to run, I think his intelligence of the game, you know, he understands the game really well, and he's willing to work and become better at the game. But because he can do both run and pass, I think some football teams find him pretty intriguing. Whether he's ahead of Manziel, that's really tough to say. Manziel obviously played a pretty high competitive level in college. So I always think it's just the way the NFL teams kind of look at a player and how they it's going to fit in their system and what skills he has available. And he has some skills out there that could make him pretty effective there in the NFL, I think, with development. He needs to get a little more physically. Staying another year at Wyoming may have helped him, you know, mature a little bit more physically. He's a little on the skinny side, though he did put some weight on last year, get up to around 210, but he probably needs to get a little bit more physically bigger. He doesn't have a great arm, but he has, you know, he's a pretty accurate thrower, and he throws good on the run, and he can certainly move around in the pocket really well, so he has some things going there.
So who would you kind of, and it's kind of dumb to compare, but is he kind of like Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, that type of core? I think he kind of could be, but I think he was more running when he needed to. There wasn't a ton of designed runs this past year. Who would you kind of compare him to in the next level?
Well, I probably wouldn't quite compare him to Kaepernick, because Kaepernick's
mm-hmm.
pretty impressive runner. Brett's still
and
pretty good runner himself. And, yeah, he's bigger than Brett. Brett's probably going to get a little more physically big. He has that ability to maybe get up to about 220, which I think will help him. But I just think it's a combination of things with him that kind of makes him an intriguing quarterback. He doesn't have really a lot any weaknesses that stick out. Maybe he doesn't have super strength, but he seems to have the full package, be able to do a little bit of everything. But he does have a great sense in the pocket. He has that competitive, you know, spirit that I think can really maybe get him over the hump. But certainly he got some information from NFL people who said he'd be drafted, and that's why he left Wyoming. So hopefully that holds true for him.
Yeah, I'd be pretty unfortunate to go undrafted or something super late. So is there, I think I pretty much asked everything I thought of. Is there anything else that you think you need to let us know about Wyoming, either recruiting, the draft, any tidbits you might want to share with us people?
I think I mentioned earlier, I think Wyoming gets three guys drafted in the NFL this year. It will be the first time in years that's happened. Quest Cuff's having a fairly decent senior bowl practice after his first one was kind of out, but he's a pretty solid safety, and Wyoming's had some success with NFL, you know, defensive backs over the last several years going, and they're doing pretty successful, so he'd certainly be a guy to look out for. But, you know, the team went 5-7 last year. You know, they were close to bowl eligibility, so I think the attitude with them is with the nucleus coming back next year, they're hoping to get maybe bowl will be able to get them over that hump. Do it, but Mount West, I think I'm expecting it to be a little, maybe even a little stronger next year or so.
Okay, I thought of a question, one more quick thing to ask. So who, because Christensen, whatever happened, let go, fired, stepped down, is Bull a better coach for Wyoming, you think, than Christensen staying on it? Because I'm wondering, if they got to 6-6, would 6-6 be Bull eligible? I don't know if they've gone to a bowl game because San Jose State didn't get to go. But is it a better situation for Bull or Christensen? Who do you think is the better fit at Wyoming? Because we've seen what Christensen done, but Bull obviously is a new guy, a little more pomp or hype with him because he's done so well at the FCS level.
Well, I think Bull's personality is definitely more of a fit for Wyoming. And just after the news conference and his background, being from the Midwest, being from Nebraska area coaching there, being up in North Dakota, which has been very similar to Wyoming, a lot of areas, in a lot of ways too, and because of that, I think the bowl is certainly a great fit for Wyoming. Very similar, Joe Glenn was a great fit for Wyoming. Joe just couldn't get it done, but bowl's very similar to that. But I think because of his track record, you know, having some FBS, BCS experience coaching, fans are very excited about him coming on and what he did at North Dakota State. And seems like a really good fit for Wyoming, that he can translate that over to the Mount West Conference.
Excellent. Okay, I was just kind of curious. I made me think of that for me, like, well, is he the guy they wanted? Or, you know, I mean, just kind of how the change.
Well, he was
their different.
Number one choice, and I don't think the Wyoming fans thought we were going to get Bull. You know, he would have been the number one choice for most of the fans up if they had, you know, ranked their top coaches. He would have been number one. I didn't think, nobody thought they were able to come and get that guy, and they were able to pull that off. And you can see a big difference in excitement from when Christensen was let go to Bull over the last, couple months. It's been, the spirits have been picked up a lot, and there seems to be a very general excitement about him being on campus.
I remember reading somewhere some coaches were surprised he left because allegedly he had everything better at North Dakota State than Wyoming, which I kind of find it hard to believe in some parts. But
well, I don't think that's true. I think people need to understand about Wyoming. They have a very passionate fan base, probably as a core fan base as good as anywhere in the conference. The facilities up there are very good. There's good money up there in terms of facilities and development. It does have a good history, and it's a school that – with football through the years, has had some success. And in addition to that, we're an FBS school. So I think it's definitely a step up for Bull. But I think the general feel with a lot of people out there was maybe he'd be waiting around for a Big Ten job, making that jump.
I
don't know how realistic that would be. I think that's what they were really comparing that to more than anything. But considering
so one
we're
last
North
thing.
Yeah, go right ahead.
One last thing.
I'm getting on a ramble.
No, that's fine. Oh, wouldn't it be, Chris? We can do that all night. Just kind of go talk about whatever. But what's the deal with the plane? What's the deal with it? He's a pilot, I guess. Does he have access to a plane? What is the deal with that?
I heard something about that. I guess I don't know enough about it, but it sounds like he's a pilot, which is another – I said something about him, and maybe he'll fly to some recruiting trips.
You can pull James Franklin. You could do James Franklin laying on the football field with a helicopter and hop out.
Yeah, now that would be great to do that.
That's what Franklin did, I think, 2 years ago. Just take that plane, land it right on the track next to the high school field, pull it on the ladder and hop out. There you go, Landon style. If he can do that, best coach in Mountain West. Best hire.
Yeah, that's what people at Wyoming love that. They just, they like that about their coaches, and they want him to be, they want him to be kind of tough guys, and he kind of resembles that a little bit.
Of course, my computer goes whack, and I mute myself three times in a row really quick during that sentence.
I heard you mute yourself.
I heard something, I had to cough. Okay. This technical of the show has been, I would rate this as, on my end, about 55% with you, at least a 97%, because I'm having some issues getting it set up. But, hey, Ian, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And everybody, check out, just go to wyoming.rivals.com. I'm assuming you'll have a bunch of updates from you and your staff over the next couple of days with the visits, everything, if he's committed or whatnot. So, yeah, thanks for joining us tonight. And, hey, I hope Wyoming has a good signing class. That'll be great for them to do this year.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jeremy, having me on. I also want to give a little kudos out to my staff man, recruiting analyst, Tom Laycock. He's doing some very good work for the website in terms of getting recruiting news and getting these stories up. So I'd like to throw his name out there. So
definitely. I've done that stuff you're doing, and it can be very difficult to get that taken care of.
Yeah.
So I know it's all right. Yeah, thanks a lot, man. We'll chat with you later. I'll probably have you on another time down the road. Okay, man?
All right. Thanks, Jeremy. Have a great evening. Bye.
All right. Once again, that was Ian McMackin from the Wyoming Rivals site, gowyogo.com or wyoming.rivals.com. Excellent stuff. And as I said, I fully believe it was at least a 50%. If I'm being generous to my end about how getting the show started, me rambling, Ian came in and saved the day, made the show amazing, excellent. I'm sure we'll get it fixed next time, and I will have sound effects because, hey, I can do that now, and that'll just be fun to do. But again, once again, I'd like to thank Ian for joining us tonight. Again, check out our website, mwcconnection.com, Twitter, MWC Connection, Facebook, Mountain West Connection, my little 10-second station identification deal. So I'd like to thank everybody for listening to our first live show. I don't know how many listen now, probably zero because it's late. But hey, you can always download it later. iTunes, we're still on SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio. Find us everywhere. So I'd like to have everybody have a good night, and we'll see everybody next show.